For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It is the FA Vars and FA Trophy second qualifying round time. Nearly 400 non-league clubs from steps 2 down to 6 take part this weekend in their respective competitions. And Phil Annetts is on hand to help us understand the most interesting stories behind the ties, wearing his at FA Vars fact file and FA Trophy facts hats. One manager leading his side into the FA Trophy for the first time in a number of years is Chris Ayres. His Blackwell Heath side took the combined counties Premier North by storm last term and have started off well at step 4-2 in the Southern League Central Division 1. He thinks he may have the best dressing room around, and we're not talking about decor either, but the camaraderie of a group of players, many of which he's had the pleasure of working with for over a decade. With the non-league paper roundup this week, it's John Couch. Some big managerial moves, some big cup games, and the National League begins to take shape. Plenty to come, so time to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So you can forget your party conference organisers, you can forget your union pay negotiators, and you can even forget your worn out Premier League stars. It's hard life there. There's one man, he's been busier than all of yous in the last couple of weeks, than the man who delivers facts where there once was supposition, provides insightful stats on a multitude of opposition, and picks up the phone to me pretty much every week without fail, which I do appreciate. As the weather is about to turn colder this weekend again, perhaps he's pleased to be wearing two hats as he joins us. Always a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Mr. Phil Annetts at FA Vars Fact File and at FA Trophy Facts. Welcome back, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Yes, good to be back. These introductions get longer and longer, the more hats I'm wearing. So, better limited, I guess.
I'm thinking now I'm going to have to get you a Christmas hat with a bell on. So you, every time you nod, we get an additional a ring or something like that. We've got the second qualifying round in both competitions this weekend, FA Vars, FA Trophy. Over 350 FA Vars clubs competing this round, and the trophy another 80. I don't expect a stat on each club, nor even each tie, but when you get weekends like this, when we've got FA Cup replays and FA Cup rematches being intertwined with them all, do you get time to switch off?
It is quite a challenge, actually, to stay on top of it all. And I was sort of caught out this week by the news of some FA Trophy first qualifying games that had to be replayed. I haven't really noticed that was happening. But, the challenge is making sure I talk about the right clubs in the right competition against the right opponents. It's very easy, I think, to find myself saying that different clubs are facing each other in different tournaments than they actually are. So, yeah, so it can be challenging, but it's fun, and it's good to be able to see all the different achievements that clubs actually are posting as their FA Cup, FA Vars or FA Trophy campaigns continue.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the FA Vars second qualifying round then. I think there's 187 of those that featuring the winners from the first qualifying round, but there were lots of exemptions from that round, with those clubs coming in this time around. That makes for a large number of ties and a large number of clubs. Have you been able to get to grips with the majority of them?
Yes, I'm on top of it all as best as I can be. Each tie has been analysed and shared in terms of their potential stats in each game. So all 177 ties can be found on my FA Vars Fact File Twitter feed, whichever tie you're after. Just have a look through that and you can find out what stats there are for every game that's in that round.
Yeah, and the competition does feature step 5 and step 6 clubs, and there's a random selection from both of those steps coming in this round, having got an exemption, but it actually seems to be quite a large percentage from that lower tier in this round competing in this second qualifying round this weekend.
Yeah, so unlike other competitions where you would normally expect a lower level clubs to start off in the earliest rounds, the FA Vars has a bit of an anomaly really in the first two qualifying rounds, where it's a seemingly a random mix of step five and six clubs in each of the two rounds. And I think from what knowledge I have from the FA is that it's just born about the mix of clubs in each of the different regions that they have that enable them to determine whether or not a club starts in the first or second qualifying round. So we have, as you said, 153 of the clubs, which is just over 40-odd%, are from step six, whereas you might have imagined that most of those would have been involved in the first qualifying round, and unfortunately, you know, half of those that were involved would have gone by the wayside already, but it doesn't work that way in this competition.
Which probably makes for a better competition, maybe, it's sort of certainly for cup sets. I love the fact that the draw now guarantees some of those from step six, or quite a large number of those from step six, will be in the next round as well.
Yeah, so I think 33 ties are including all both clubs from step six. So there's already guaranteed to be that many in the next round, and I think there's another 87 ties where there's a possibility of a cup set. And we saw quite a few of those in the first qualifying round. So of those games, I'm sure we'd see 25-30% of them result in a surprise and a step six side taking advantage and making it to the first round proper.
And of course, it's those cup sets that people remember, you know, up and down the land, year in, year out. But if it's your club, you know, everybody loves the history of the competition, but the history continuously being made as well. And if it's your club, it's always a spectacular season, particularly this year for the debutants who were well represented. And I think we're guaranteed one of those as well into the next round.
Yeah, they are. There's a dozen debut clubs who are in their first FA Vars campaign, some of which started in the last round and some of which were exempt to this round. And you're right, we have one tie where they're both facing each other in a quite an intriguingly named tie. We've got Sturminster Newton United, who are hosting a club called Infinity FC. So I don't know what will happen if Sturminster get through. Does that mean they've gone beyond Infinity? I'm not sure.
We're now doing number play as well as word play, Phil. I like it. I like it. You know, Countdown has got nothing on us. The history, again, is important to every club taking part. And it's good to see as well that there's a large number guaranteed to equal or better their FA Vars history so far.
Yeah, so we've got, I think, 46 clubs have the chance of making it through to this round, and there's quite a few ties, at least 10, where the winner is guaranteed to either set or equal their best ever FA Vars run. And that's includes a tie between Grimsdown Rovers and Wormley Rovers, who are both in their seventh campaign, so they've had quite a few campaigns and yet to get to the first round, but this season one of them will definitely be there.
And I'm trying to think of a Rovers joke now, but off the top of my head, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We've got plenty of clubs going then, as far as they've ever been. But there's six clubs that have got a few stages to go yet before they achieve that. With former winners in this round of the competition.
Yeah, we do have some former winners. Another quirk of the FA Vars is that past winners do take part in the earlier rounds, and we've got six of them in this round. And the most recent of that is Newport Pagnell Town, who will face another Step 5 club. So whilst all the other winners are facing Step 6 opposition, Newport Pagnell Town have come up against Edgware and Kingsbury, who actually beat them in the competition a few years ago. So you know, it's going to be very difficult for these former winners to continue on into the first round.
You mean there's some clubs that have met before in this competition? Of course there are. and there's always some looking to avenge past defeat. Any that we should be aware of then, Phil?
Well, there's actually not a lot of ties where they have actually met before in a competition, given the number of ties. So there's only 26 in total. The most common tie of the round is Enid Town versus Dunkirk, who have drawn together for the fifth time and have two wins apiece in past meetings. But I think that the clubs that are keenest, I guess, to try and avenge past defeats will be a club like Hamworthy United beat Fleet Town, or were beaten by Fleet Town 5-0 last done them, which was over 32 years ago. So they've had a long time to stew on trying to win that game. And then the most keenest, I guess, would be Newbury Forest, who lost 7-1 to Buckhurst Hill when they met in the competition just 3 years ago. So I'm sure there are plenty of players there who were involved in that game will be keen to avenge that defeat.
Indeed, they're the sort of ones that you definitely want to put behind you. I mentioned the wordplay king that you are. Albion is a very old term used for Great Britain. I think maybe even way back to ancient civilization. So it's also used in an occasional club suffix. And this round appears to be an occasion where that suffix is fairly important, at least to us that are reporting on it.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, a few clubs actually have Albion in their names, really, but there is one in particular who actually start with the name Albion in terms of Albion Sports. And this round sees them face another Albion in a competition for the very first time. They take on Tadcaster Albion, so that's quite a distinct wordplay, I guess, between two clubs where the first name of one club is the surname of another. So, they don't really come across like that, Albion, apart from in league games. So it's quite a unique occasion.
Yeah. So come the end of the weekend, I think we've got FA Vars games, what, Friday, Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
I think we've even got three kickoff times on Saturday as well, haven't we? You're going to have a multitude of stats and facts to be trying to pull together and sort of plan ahead for the draw on Monday. But just to add to the excitement, in case you were planning on watching Strictly Come Dancing or doing anything else over the weekend, we've also got ATFA trophy ties, 40 clubs, perhaps, you know, no less historical, the fact that we've only got 40 clubs in here. A large number, again, looking to reach the third qualifying round for the first time ever.
Yes, I think there's 20 clubs involved in the FA Trophy second qualifying round who are trying to make the third qualifying round. And it's not surprising that so many, given that it's been expanded, that competition, in recent times. So, we've got teams like Littlehampton Town, for example, who are trying to do that for the first time. And particularly, we've got ties where there will be clubs guaranteed to be in the third qualifying round as a consequence of the match. And one of those stands out particularly for me is the what I call the Heath Derby. The first time ever two clubs with a suffix of Heath in their name face each other in a competition. As Flatwell Heath will host Broadbridge Heath on a Saturday afternoon.
It's an open tie, is it, that one? There's I'm trying to think of another definition of Heathland. Plenty of debutants as well because of the shake up in the competition. Having an opportunity this time of year because of the shake up of the pyramid rather than the competition. Clubs that are taking part in the FA Trophy for the first time this year.
Yeah, that's right. So there's still seven clubs standing who are involved for the very first time. I think we get a turnaround of between 18 to 20 odd each season now with the new structure. So it's good for teams like Heath and Stannington, Withenshaw Town and Loughborough Students, etc., who all are still involved and enjoying taking part in this competition for the first time.
Yeah, and again, former winners of the competition also competing this round.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, we've got former winners. Hensford Town, they host Chase Town.
Big game.
Whilst Kingstonian, yeah, it is a big game for that local area. And Kingstonian travel to Sittingbourne. And that is one of only two ties that has, of this round, bizarrely, that has actually happened in a competition before. So unlike other competitions where we seem to have quite a few repeat ties, Kingstonian versus Sittingbourne is just one of two in this round.
Yeah, and as you say, the trophy's been juggled about and the format changed over the years. And we've still got a handful of clubs who've reached this stage by already notching a couple of wins in this competition this season.
Yes, we had a special preliminary round this year to accommodate a number of clubs. That was the first time that had been used for a while. And there's still a few clubs standing who were involved in that. So they've already won twice to get this far, including City of Liverpool. Congleton Town is included in it, Anstey Nomads, Ascot United, and aforementioned Littlehampton Town.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the competition regionalised, so perhaps not a massive surprise. But there are a number of ties featuring clubs from the same division when they go back to league action. So does that make for cagier cup ties, do you think, because the clubs are more likely to know each other?
They won't necessarily have played each other this season yet. It's still quite early in the season, but yes. If you think you know the opposition, that can change the way that you approach a tie, doesn't it? Rather than facing someone that you are unused to playing against. But there are, I think, 18 ties in total. So it's quite a sizable number in terms of proportion of ties where clubs are facing opponents they will meet in league opposition. And that's primarily because it's taking three rounds to whittle down the step four clubs before we get any clubs from any other level in the competition joining in the next round.
And my response to that, really. I mean, it's the of course the magical letter of the round, certainly for Bradford Park Avenue this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Bradford Park Avenue, one of the clubs that have been actually involved in the trophy for quite a considerable number of years, will be facing Ossett United. But this will be the first time that they've faced a club beginning with the letter O in what is their 61st trophy game. So given that not many clubs have that many number of games in the competition, that's quite a significant, interesting stat.
They're all interesting stats, Phil. I think we've got games Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the Vars, Friday, Saturday in the trophy. Any taking your fancy, Phil? Any other stats that we need to know?
Well, I like to go and watch clubs who have a chance to create history for themselves. So I'm going to go to FC Stratford on Sunday afternoon. Actually, they host Hinckley AFC with a chance to make it into the first round for the very first time.
Well, I'll keep an eye out for that one. But keep talking about keeping an eye out, where can people find out more and keep up to date with all your stats and facts then, Phil?
Trying to ensure there's stats for every time, both the FA Vars and the FA Trophy this weekend. You can check those out on Twitter, FA Vars Fact File and FA Trophy Facts.
Well, considering the number of ties, Phil, I tip my hat. I know you can't tip yours because you've got too many on, so that is to be too difficult to tip. But Phil Annette, as ever, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. We appreciate all your help and time that you give to the non-league game. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks so much.
Let's stay with the FA Trophy then. As Phil Annette mentioned, just 80 clubs in this round, all looking at the possibility of making it into the next round and maybe, well, a lengthy cup run or a chance to face one of the 24 National League sides who come in Monday's draw. Before that, though, there's games to be played this weekend, and let's turn our attention to that Heath derby that Phil mentioned. Flatwell Heath of Step 4 Southern League Central Division entertain Broadbridge Heath of the Step 4 Isthmian League South East Division. A first season in the trophy for the home side for a number of years and never before to this round. That's because this is very much a club back on the up and in the right way too. Let's find out more. It's a pleasure to welcome to the Non-League Football Show, manager of Flatwell Heath, Chris Ayres. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me. Brilliant. You okay?
Yeah, good, good, good. Thank you very much. I say you're a club on the up because last season, pretty much all the focus in the combined counties was on Farnham Town, who won the Premier South, but with 95 points, 99 goals, you put in a similar performance to win the Premier North, and not before time for the club, because they've been in and about the top of Step 5 for a while now.
Yeah, definitely. We had sort of in our minds that we could probably get into the playoffs, obviously, with Rayners Lane in our league last year in terms of, you know, the players they had and their budget. So the playoffs was always an aim, but as the season progressed and we recruited well, and the players improved, and we ended up sort of going toe-to-toe, and then, we finished strong and deservedly got over the line, and the points total and the goals were, you know, I think, brilliant, you know, real credit to all the players and everyone at the club to go and beat season as well, which made me feel, you know, which was a major achievement.
Very much a major achievement. And of course, with success comes increased support. And the club's thriving, as you've shown already, with a great start in the league this season. What, 5 wins from 6 in the league and more goals as well, 17-4 and just 4 against. Was this step something you were already ready for in terms of players and set up on the field?
I think like a majority of the squad have all played at the level before. Some played higher, so I was quietly confident that we would be able to go into it and deal with the level. Whereabouts in the level, I'm still not entirely sure. I mean, the next few games or next 6 games, we'll see. But we are quietly confident that we've gone into it and we've, you know, felt that we would do okay without, you know, getting carried away and shouting from the rooftops too much. So, yeah, we've got enough quality in the squad to compete at this level, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I guess in terms of location, you know, for travelling and also your knowledge of local football, you may have preferred the Isthmian South Central, but you're in the Southern Central and that provides for some new experiences just like the FA Trophy does.
Yeah, definitely. And we actually, you know, the travelling's not as bad as it's sort of made out because it's most of the games in the Eastern League are all around the M25. So you get stuck on that on a Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. It's not there. I think whichever league we went in, it was going to be a new challenge and new sides. And yeah, we're happy with the league we've gone in. It's not affected our crowds. Our crowds are still good. We're still getting a few followers away from home. So yeah, we're happy with where we are.
And what about the experience off the field as well? I mean, the club, yeah, not being rude here, but it's essentially one of those proverbial village sides, isn't it? But it's well supported, and it's also got good local links too.
Yeah, definitely. We've you know, when me and myself and Paul came in, we were Terry that. You know, obviously it was local. We're local ourselves. The players are predominantly local and ex-miners players like the Flackweed Miners. And we've set the link up and they've been a massive part of that, the Flackweed Miners, the community and getting them down on mascots and the parents and grandparents. And yeah, and that's really flourished. And obviously more local people getting involved with the club, and I think the sponsorships this year have gone through the roof in terms of players and club sponsors. So yeah, it's definitely progressing in the right way.
And it is good, you know, that youth development is also important in building a club the right way. And you also away from Flatwell Heath, you helped former Hayes and Yeni United boss Naz Bashir with his Fab Academy, but that link also has helped bear fruit for the club too.
Yeah, definitely. Like we've got a lot of the older players that were at Fab a long time ago, and they obviously went off to play, you know, non-league football elsewhere. And obviously, once I got into the job, then obviously, like quite a few of those lads wanted to sort of reconnect with me. And I know them well. I trust them. They're well-coached players, not just by myself, but other coaches. And they know how we want to play, our philosophy. And yeah, it's been great to have them. And, you know, some of them I've known since they've been sort of 8-9 years of age. And now they're sort of 26, 27. So, yeah, it's great. It's really good.
Yeah. And I mean, that's no surprise that the players want to play for you, because I mean the success of Fab, the tales from players and other coaches that they've shared with me over the years about yourself, you've got your coaching badges, etc. It tells me that you are a great coach, but that doesn't always make for a great manager or even a coach that enjoys management. I'm assuming that you're enjoying all that added pressure, all the added responsibility and all the general detritus that comes with being the top boss man.
No, not really. No, some of it I do, some of it I don't. I really like, you know, I love the coaching side of it still, and I still coach. That's something I'll never come away from. And I've been learning on the manager front, you know. Paul's been great. Paul's managed before. Mm. He's always great with, you know, to bounce off. And, I'm still learning stuff. I'm never going to be a screamer and shouter in the changing room, and I never will be, you know, try and and the respect of the players. But I say I still want to coach, still learning, and I do enjoy it. I love it. The hardest thing for me is will be tonight. We'll train tonight, and then unfortunately we're going to be one or two that we're going to have to leave out on a Saturday, and that's what I really hate. It's tough because we've got such a good squad, and that's probably the biggest challenge is trying to keep everyone happy, involved at the club, and keep them at the club, because we've got so many good players, and we can only play 11 on match day.
Yeah, and we hear a lot about the changing world in terms of, well, player welfare, the support that you know the modern day footballer needs. As you said, you've known some of your players since they were eight from their formative years. Do you think that's maybe given you an advantage in providing that relevant support and sort of bringing the changing room, dressing room together?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, everyone knows everyone. You know, say a lot of them have grown up together. They've, you know, they've trained every day together for sort of 2 or 3 years, and that 100% that helps. That togetherness in the changing room. Our changing room is unbelievable in terms of togetherness. And we brought one or two in, and I do always look at that, that the group when we bring players in, do they fit into the group? And you know, we brought Louis Bowers in from Ascot last year. He's, you know, he's fitted in well with the boys. So yeah, we do have to keep improving, but we're very conscious that we want to keep that core group together, because that's what, you know, has made us successful.
It's where champions are made, isn't it? You mentioned your assistant Paul Sean there, obviously, of course, and then we always talk about that assistant relationship. Are you good cop, bad cop, or do you both play the same role?
Paul's bad cop, probably. So if there's any running to do, Paul always does the running. But no, Paul, we both, you know, if every match day, we will always speak to players. The players that are left out, we will always tell them why they're left out. You know, we got Paul. Yeah, Paul's a very good, you know, great assistant and a good mate of mine as well, which is important. You know, we've known each other for many years. Me and Paul, we play together, and you know, we're good mates. So that definitely helps. And we bounce ideas off each other. We've never ever had a disagreement, which is great, and we have opinions, but we always come to a good conclusion.
And of course, that chairman manager relationship also ever important. You mentioned Terry Glynn there. I mean, he's a hands-on chair in terms of getting things done, isn't he? He's been manager, groundsman, chair, pretty much everything there. I think he's been involved for 50 years, or over 50 years now, hasn't he? Because I remember reporting on the 50 years anniversary.
Yeah.
But he was a great player in his time as well, wasn't he? He scored something like 90 goals for Wickham Wanderers, and it's sort of like, almost a goal every other game or something like that. Did he leave you to the football though? Is that how it works?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he does. He's I value his opinion, obviously, you know, because he knows the game. I mean, when I played there, God blimey, going back now, I was 17, so that's 35 years ago. I played, and he was the manager, so I've played under him. So yeah, I've known Terry a long time, and Terry, you know, he wanted me to come in, and Terry has his opinions, and I respect his opinions, but he's never come up to me and said, oh, why are you doing that? You've got to do this. He leaves the match days, the selection to ourselves, and behind the scenes, he works tirelessly to keep the club going. And you know, we've this year we've had to spend more money on the ground and stuff, and even obviously like any level of football, when you go up you've got to find a bit more money for players, and Terry's and the rest of the club have been brilliant in that fact, helping us do that and getting the ground up to a level. I mean, the pitch when I used to play on it was awful, but now it's fantastic. You know, they've spent a lot of money on it and time and effort to get it to the level that we want it to be.
And that's where I say it does seem that the club are doing it in all the right ways. I mean, Saturday, though, FA Trophy, what do you know about the opposition, Broadbridge Heath? Mid-table in, I think, their first season at Step 4 last term. Similar start this season, two defeats and two wins so far in the league. Have you been able to get much intel on them?
Yeah, so we've seen some videos of them. Obviously, they've only recently got beaten the FA Cup on Saturday to Ramsgate. So They've proven already that they're a really good cup side. Yeah, we've seen them play there. They've got some very good attacking players. They play on the front foot. Yeah, it will be a tough game. And like I say, they've already won cup games this year, so they're used to winning in the cup. So yeah, so it'd be a tough challenge for us, but hopefully at home we can get the job done.
And does that give you a real advantage that being at home, just sort of mentally?
Yeah, I think so. We've been in touch with, in terms of the league, we're unbeaten at home this year in the league. Hopefully, we're anticipating a big crowd on Saturday. We haven't been at home now for 3 weeks, I think it is. So yeah, we're really looking forward to, being back at home in front of a big crowd and getting back on the front foot and hopefully, getting through to the next round.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you're probably not going to win the FA Trophy, but a decent run is possible and you have some great games ahead. But what is the aim this season?
Oh, cool, blimey. I think it's trying, hopefully in the trophy, we can get through one or two more rounds. That'd be great. I know the chairman would be happy with that financially. So that's an aim, definitely. And then the league, who knows? I mean, I like to say that I never go around saying we're going to do this. I think if we can keep winning the next sort of six games, we'll see where we are in the league. It'd be a clearer picture of the teams that are going to be in and around the sort of top six and take it from there, really. We've just got to keep trying to win games and keep our run going and see where we end up.
And you said that some of the bits that come with being a manager, maybe not necessarily your cup of tea, but if you can't be playing, it's a good second, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. And sometimes it's tougher when you're not playing. You're on the sideline and you're kicking every ball. You're trying to help them, and you can only do so much. But yeah, no, I enjoy it. And whilst we're winning, it makes it even more enjoyable.
Well, it's been enjoyable talking to you, Chris Ayres, manager at Flatwell Heath. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me on.
Time of the week then, once again, to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It is a welcome back, once again, to the Non-League Football Show. Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Feeling very excited about the weekend, because I don't know if that's the sunshine's got to me or not, but it looks like the rain's going to come back in. But, I mean, it's just that time of year, isn't it? With the leagues are starting to get to that almost magic 10-game mark. We had the FA Cup draw on Monday. Only had the winners from the last round into that hat. And there's some exciting ties ahead. They're going to take place next weekend in the third qualifying round. But already, I'm looking at Radcliffe against Bury, Macclesfield, Witton, Buxton, Kidderminster Harriers. There's some exciting ties in that draw.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's that time of year, isn't it? Where there's a cup every week, it seems, at the moment, whether it be Vars and Trophy and then the FA Cup, and they sort of alternate at the moment. But either way, there's a lot of football being played. There's a lot of big cup ties and something to savour every week. And the FA Cup is just delivering this year, isn't it? It's been terrific. We had some great results. Last weekend, I was just come off the phone to the Bishop's Cleeve manager, Paul Colley Cut, talking about his victory over Torquay, which was just incredible. And now they've got another big one at home to Chesham United, and so it's very much the same again there. And Just some of the ties you've just mentioned, Radcliffe Borough against Bury. I think if you had a chat with the Radcliffe joint manager Anthony Johnson, he'll be telling you just how much of a tasty one that is. He's a big lifelong Bury fan, and he's taking his Bury coming to him actually. Yeah. Obviously, because the ties at Radcliffe, that promises to be a cracker as well. And some big ties. Just sort of the build-up to getting into that fourth qualifying round, and if these clubs can find a way of squeezing themselves into that hat, then there's some really, really big ties that are potentially in the offering then. And then, of course, you're one round away from the Football League guys coming in that first round. It's a really exciting time of year. And, there's certainly a feeling, though, that certainly for these smaller clubs, if they can just get past this round into that fourth qualifying round, then the sky's the limit, really.
Yeah, and the managers will always tell you, the chairman will always tell you, some of the players will probably always tell you as well, they're not thinking about the first round opportunities, or, you know, they're taking every game as it comes. But yeah, being honest, they are. Of course they are. Of course they're thinking about it. And we're already talking about a week in advance, because this weekend, the cup attention is on the non-league specific ones. So we've got both the FA Vars and the FA Trophy reaching the second qualifying round this weekend. And I'm looking across the draws on those with, you know, Vars games from Penrith to Okehampton. I mean, that only shows the strength of non-league across the levels and across the country. There's clubs the full length and breadth of the country.
Yeah, I think there's about 180 FA Vars ties coming up this weekend. It's a massive, massive weekend for the FA. As you say, countries from top to bottom in Britain going head to head. There's some fascinating ties there, and this is just a sort of stage of the season where clubs are plotting their season. Can we just embark on a little FA Vars run, because it really can make or break a team's season. Again, as we say, lots of top ties. The one I like is Bedfont against Bedfont Sports, sort of just on there on the Heathrow Airport runway. I mean, that's a real derby game to savour. And as you say, right down from up from Penrith down from Okehampton, there's some real crunch local derbies. Obviously, they're all regionalised competition. There's going to be some cross league games. I think with teams that probably wouldn't normally play each other, but that represent their own, in particular, league very, very well, and going head to head. And so it's a bit of a there's a few grudge matches in there, shall we say, where the leagues will be looking for their top team to get one over the rival leagues from just down the road. So yeah, plenty to whet the appetite. And of course, in the trophy, much like the FA Cup, actually only 40 ties this week, all set four sides, looking to get on that next rung of the ladder. And obviously the step two boys, the step three boys come in, don't they, for that next round. And again, a few possibilities of a decent tie and a good run in that FA Trophy on the road to Wembley, of course.
Yeah, one of those trophy ties as well that sort of stands out, the local game, Hensford Chasetown. And you look at we've discussed, I think, already this season, that the experience on the Hensford managerial front, probably know and have done everything in non-league. Could this be their year that they go on a run in the FA Trophy again?
Well, of course. I mean, Hensford are a team with FA Trophy history, aren't they? And that management, as you said, Steve King, is a top manager for in non-league in general. Let alone at step four, he's got some good players there as well. They haven't really started the season as well as probably people might have expected them to. But let them settle in. They haven't exactly hit the ground running, but they haven't started poorly either. And they're certainly going to be one of those step four teams to watch. Chasetown will go there with absolutely nothing to lose, and that could be a almighty tie, really. And Steve King will be looking at the FA Trophy, saying an opportunity now for this football club. After all they've been through some wretched times in the last couple of years, but this is a good opportunity for them now to sort of really show themselves to be the big club that they are at that level, and maybe get a one of his old Step Two teams. He's been in charge of a few as Steve King, and the FA Trophy is certainly no stranger to that FA Trophy. So yeah, he'll be looking at getting a decent run, and no one will want to play. Yeah, we want to play Hensford in the next round. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, managers are all important, of course, and that managerial merry-go-round continues apace week in, week out. The big news after we went out last week with this show came at Boreham Wood, of course. Ross Jenkins lasted, just 8 games this season. And we spoke about the other week about some big names sat on the sidelines. They're going to start to get itchy feet and want to get back in the dugout. And I'm not sure, was it a surprise or not that Wood have gone back to approve a man in Luke Garrard to try and restart their season?
I'm not sure. It says to me that... that perhaps it was in the pipeline a while ago. I said to my colleague Matt Badcock when we heard about Ross Jenkins, bit of a surprise exit has to be said. I mean they haven't started.
It wasn't the worst start, was it?
Only two defeats, and he's lost his job. I said to Matt, wouldn't it be funny if Luke Garrard was back in the running? And we almost sort of laughed at it, really. And and within hours, it had been confirmed. It's just a good fit, isn't it? Luke Garrard and Boreham Wood, that final season in the National League aside, really. I mean, still not 100% sure what happened in that season. I mean, they went on just what an awful run, eventually got sucked into the bottom four and couldn't find a way out. And Luke, I think after 9 years in the hot seat, probably deserved a little bit of, but he comes back in refreshed, a little bit harsh on Ross Jenkins, as you say, but Luke Garrard and Boreham Wood is that good fit. They're back to winning ways, and all of a sudden they're looking a pretty big threat in that National League South Division.
Yeah, as you say, he got off to a good start and away win in the FA Cup at Eastbourne Borough last Saturday. This weekend, they're at home to Welling United. Again, another club in the midsection of that National South early embryonic table. Only 8 games played, and they're on everybody's shoulders. So, it's he's proven it before, and I'm sure that's what he's gone back there for, to try and get them back up into the National League. Talking of the National League, the other big change this week, AFC Fylde parting company with Chris Beach, and again he'd appeared to have done so well since arriving last season.
Yeah, I spoke to Chris Beach last year. I thought he did a tremendous job. I mean, they found themselves one of about 8 or 10 clubs really who were fighting for relegation, trying to avoid relegation. I hasten to add, and of those clubs, AFC Fylde probably probably did it the most comfortably. The way they finished last season was really, really impressive. And this is a club with big expectations at Fylde, possibly too big. Some may say, but it's a very proud club, and they haven't started the season particularly well, albeit not disastrously. In Nick Houghton, they probably possess the best player in the National League at the moment. 10 goals already, I believe. And the fact that they kept him shows that the club are still ambitious. And they've obviously decided that enough's enough with Chris, which is, as I say, a little bit harsh. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here, actually. There's been a few names mentioned, but nothing concrete at all. David Haythornthwaite, the chairman, doesn't seem to be in any rush. To sort of things out. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what path they go down.
Yeah, I think I've seen a statement from him to say exactly the same, that they're in no rush to appoint somebody new. So obviously looking for someone that's the perfect fit. Maybe that was the issue with Chris Beach. They did manage to get the 3 points midweek against Southend United. I think that was their first game at home under the lights this year at Mill Farm. So they'll be looking to build upon that, because that's sort of lifted them out of that embryonic relegation four spots that they were sort of spent most of last season in. So I suppose that's going to be up the number of CVs that be flying in, because it will be a job. As you say, they've got ambition, they've got facilities. It will be a job that plenty of out of work managers will be looking to take on.
It certainly will. As I say, it's a club. It's a club. Very proud of their history. But with it comes a lot of expectation. I mean, you only have to look back at the days of Dave Challoner. This is the club that sacked Dave Challoner, who, and obviously he's gone on to do very good things in the Football League. So they have set themselves very high standards. They see themselves very much as part of the National League establishment. If you remember, also they come within one game of going into the Football League. So I mean, they may be a little light on numbers, should we say, when it comes to fans through the gate. But say very 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 proud football club. Did very well to finish where they did last year, but they want more, and they're one of our clubs in the National League's bottom half who will be looking at pushing on and possibly even getting a playoff place. And they've obviously decided that they want to make that move early, bring in, and if they can run together, we've seen many times before that the clubs can push into that top seven. And the National League these days is so tight. Everyone's beating each other, as we've just seen with Fylde beating Southend, and that result just shows that this is a football club who could, this is a team of players who can still do it at that top level. And as I say, it'll be very interesting to see who they bring in to lead them. And as you rightly say, I think the list of candidates will be long.
Yeah, another change up in a similar part of the country this week as well. Mark Beasley resigning at Warrington Town. I don't think he'd been there, hasn't he, since he stepped up? I remember when Paul Carlton...
8 years,
I've got Paul Carlton went off to AFC Telford United, and Paul's moved on since then, hasn't he? I guess change has to come at some point. And looking at the table there, National North, what was it, two wins from eight. It has been a tough start. It's whether... You know, new impetus can turn that around, I guess. And where will Mark Beasley pop up?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting actually with the press that went about Mark's resignation. They were very very complimentary of the work he did, very very thankful for him, and very appreciative also. This is a guy who not only stabilised the club at step three, but at the second time of trying in the playoffs, he managed to get them up into step two, and then had a very very successful season last year, finishing 12th. So that was a decent finish at their first season at that level. And it's been a difficult start. It's a very very tough league, and it's very. Very very tight. You know, as we only have to look at the likes of Farsley Celtic and Curzon Ashton to show that if you can get a good team together, get your house in order, then anything is possible in that league. Possibly Warrington or Mark himself, obviously because he resigned, probably didn't feel that it was right. He was the right man possibly to take Warrington to that next level. I'm not so sure. He will certainly leave with his head held high, an army of fans and a football club who are sort of forever appreciative of the work he's done. And not all associations end that nicely, do they, in football these days? So it's quite refreshing to see him.
But I think it's important to do that from both sides as well, because, I mean, looking elsewhere, Gainsborough Town have parted with Steve Bell, and then Sheffield FC, we've seen Ryan Cresswell leaving, stepping up to take the vacant role at Matlock Town. It's a big step up, that one. Jamie Yates moving from coach to manager at Sheffield there. And then we see at Wickham, Lee Haldane has stepped down, and former boss Tony Fawcett comes in. Previously managed the club between October 21 and October 22. So there's the importance of making sure that you don't burn your bridges.
Well, that's right, and you only have to ask a certain Mr. Garrard about about a sort of burning bridge. It seems to be the week of it. I think in this day and age, sometimes you can get a good fit like that, and certainly it's the same with Lee Garrard and at Wickham as well. It does just show, as you say, you know, keep your powder dry, and and who knows what comes back. Yeah. But managers do come and go these days. It is part and parcel of football. It's getting, the tenures are getting less and less, but they really could pop up anywhere. And the old saying of never go back, I don't think is
relevant. Yeah, no, doesn't seem to apply anymore. Because one other headline grabbing departure, I'd probably say, is Jermaine McGlashan and Chris Zbrojski leaving Croydon Athletic by mutual agreement. I don't even think they've been in that job for a year yet in charge. They've achieved promotion via the playoffs last term, but I guess this is a new season. Yeah, management's a brutal world.
Yeah, really disappointed with this one, actually. Jermaine's someone I followed his career for quite a while now, ever since he was a player at Aldershot. A really, really nice guy off the field. I must admit, when he went into management, I was quite surprised. Didn't really think he had that in him. But then again, he was a very young man at the time. I was delighted when he went in at one of my local football clubs, Fleet Town. Spoke to him a couple of times on that, and he got a big move up to AFC Croydon, which at the time was a big move, you know, with the whole Stormzy and Wilfried Zaha combination up there, and it was a big move for him. And they were 17th in the league when he took over, got them into the playoffs, and beat Jersey Bulls and Knapp Hill, two very big clubs at that level, and got them into step four for the first time. It was a tremendous achievement. It really was. It was an excellent end of season, and he's only had a few games, and he's gone. I feel really sorry for him. As you say, it's brutal, especially when you got sort of high profile management who have sort of expectations probably a bit beyond the station. And it was a very brutal sacking, I think, of a young man who I think has got a very good future in management, and I just hope that Jermaine gets another chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, I've had five wins without a win, and that was it. We still talk about the 10-game magic mark, but five obviously too much down the AFC Croydon Athletic. Looking across, we mentioned some bits from the National League. We've obviously got league action there this weekend. York City now the early table toppers. What are they? Two points clear from the chasing pack. 3 points clear of Gateshead. They've got a game in hand. Big game of the weekend. Gateshead against Forest Green, I guess, which is what, fifth against second place this weekend.
Yeah, very much so. Gateshead. I mean, that was the biggest surprise of the season for me. I mean, it was the late game, and we were all scribing away, trying to get the reports in for the Sunday paper. We always keep a small eye on proceedings for the late game, but it's very difficult to keep yourself abreast of what's going on every minute. But every time I seem to look up at the screen, Dagenham has scored another goal, and all of a sudden you think, wow, you know, Gateshead leading the table, losing 7-1. It was just a crazy game.
Was it last week or the week before when I was speaking to Matt Badcock and I was saying about these early tables, they don't really mean much. But the thing that sort of attracts me to the stat I'm looking for, the goal difference. You know, a club that have got a very good, decent goal difference so early on, they're a club to watch. And before that game, Dagenham and Redbridge, they had a zero goal difference, you know, but they weren't sort of pulling up any race. Was it just one of those games where everything just sort of came together?
It could well be. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Matt a couple of weeks ago about Dagenham, and we were a little bit worried about where their goals were coming from, and you know, We hoped it didn't. It wouldn't have any reflection on Ben Strevens, who's one of our who's one of our regular guys that we one of our go-to men to talk to in the National League. Really nice top bloke, top manager. But yeah, we hoped it wouldn't have a reflection on him. But since then, they've won 3-0, 3-1, 3-0, 3-0, 7-1. So I mean, they've really sort of silenced us. Maybe it was one of those games, but it does just go to show that the National League is absolutely wide open this year. I mean, I think any number of four clubs could have gone to the top of the table at the weekend. Forest Green, as I think we said already this season, gone about their business pretty quietly over the summer. Brought in some quality. Steve Cottrell doing a tremendous job there. That I think they're going to be there and thereabouts, and them going to Gateshead this weekend it will be very interesting to see what happens there. And then all of a sudden, York from nowhere win their game and go top of the table because of Wilstone getting a last minute equaliser at Forest Green. And that was one I didn't really foresee, actually, because we didn't actually have any pitches booked for York. I didn't see that one coming. That's on me. I've got to hold my hand out. We managed to get some pitches in the end. But yeah, I did see that one coming. But what a job Adam Hinshelwood's doing. And it's great to see. It's great to see smiles on faces up there, because they've been through the mill, haven't they, over the last few years. It looks like they're going to be in the midst of a title race, and with them, Forest Green, Gateshead, and Barnett, of course. Let's not forget Barnett, the preseason favourites, 100% record at home. They're not lying down either. They've had a couple of interesting articles in the papers these last couple of weeks, with the comments that Dean Brennan had made about his own fans. So that's keeping life interesting there. But don't rule them out either. But I think there's four or five clubs in there who really will fancy their chances of a good long sustained run this season.
Well, as I mentioned to Dean Brennan last week, he's always kept my life interesting when he's been our reporter on here, and he's got response, though, I believe. You know, that's what he's there to do, isn't it? To drive the club forward. And again, you know, when Dean went in there, where the club was both on and off the field, I don't think anybody would have expected them to have even been favourites at the start of the season. But I mean, they've got a big game this weekend. Same for Dean, going back to his old club at Wilstone in the evening kickoff.
Yeah, they're always tasty, aren't they? Those Northwest London derbies. In terms of mileage, not a lot between the clubs, but in terms of history, quite a big deal. And Wildstone like to think of themselves as being on Barnett's level now, and absolutely right. They should think that. They've done extremely well to get themselves up to that point. And yeah, that they every season they relish that Wildstone versus Barnett game. And yeah, the TV cameras will be down for that. And yeah, I think it's usually a bit of a tasty affair. And yeah, hopefully it'll be the same. A nice big crowd down there, and I think any victory for Wilstone, which will be much needed, I think, for Matt Taylor's team. They find themselves in the bottom four, despite not having played at all. Again, that's the nature of the National League. But Barnett aren't going to make life easy for them on Saturday, as they won't Barnett either. So I think it'll be a crunch. Punch local derby, plenty of talking points, and hopefully it'll be a good one for the cameras.
I believe it will be. So we've got loads of FA Trophy, loads and loads of FA Vars action this weekend, plus plenty of league action as well to report upon. Is there any space for anything else in this weekend's non-league paper?
Not much. We've got plenty of FA Cup previews. So we've been speaking to Bishop's Cleeve, we've got Amersham, we've got Wythe and Shaw. We've got plenty of stuff. Obviously, we've got a young man called Ethan Chislett, who plays for Kingstonian. His dad's Donovan Chislett, who used to a former manager at set 3 and 4 level. He's doing very well in the world of business, and we've got a nice little article on him about some shin pads that he's helped produce, which is now getting really good traction up in the Premier League. Yeah, top players like Harvey Elliott and abroad as well, all wearing Ethan Chislett's shin pads. So yeah, we got a nice little article about him and how he mixes business with the pleasure of non-league football. So that's quite nice too.
Oh, good stuff. Well, I look forward to reading all about it in the paper on Sunday. John Couch, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
And that then is it for this week. Don't forget to get involved on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom and on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Remember to stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.